from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org.
At the legislature today, lawmakers were updated on a bill that passed 2 years ago and its effects on overcrowding in the state's jails and prisons. But correction officials say it will take more money to continue implementing the new law. And does the State Public Service Commission have too much control over your local water utility? Some small public service districts say yes. These stories, plus a look at the education issues facing lawmakers on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. At the end of every floor session, senators and delegates are allowed to give remarks to the entire body. Today in the House, those remarks led to an extended debate about jobs in the North and the lack of them in the South, about drug addiction and about education. As Liz McCormick reports, the debate lasted for nearly an hour.
It all began when Minority Leader Delegate Tim Miley gave his colleagues his weekly update about available jobs in North Central West Virginia. Every Thursday, Miley said he would stand up for West Virginia businesses during ending remarks.
I also have been reminded that not all parts of our state are prospering quite like North Central is at the moment. But I would remind the members that it's not just due to the oil and gas industry, but we have an airport up there that has a number of manufacturers located at it that provides a lot of good-paying jobs. And the economic impact study provided by, WVU, revealed that that airport has a billion-dollar impact on our economy.
Miley's announcement wasn't taken lightly by Delegate Joshua Nelson from Southern West Virginia.
If you look around the chamber, you'll see some of us wearing solid black, and I will tell you that we'll continue doing that on Thursdays in mourning for those people down in Southern West Virginia who do not have such a bright future because of attacks from agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency and a piss-poor environment, business environment in the state of West Virginia.
Delegate Patrick McGean from the Northern Panhandle also stood to criticize Miley's weekly job report.
You mentioned a study that was done on an airport authority in North Central West Virginia.
So on the economic impact of the airport.
Was that from the College of Business and Economics at WVU?
I believe it was.
Do you know who the authors, these great intellectual PhD elites who authored that report? Do you know the names?
I don't have a copy in front of me, so I don't know that answer.
Probably not. Have you ever studied market economics?
Not really.
Probably not.
I mean, I'm in college years ago.
Yeah, probably not, right? Do you understand there's different schools of thought in economics?
I understand there are different schools of thought.
Do you understand what the Keynesian school of thought is?
Why don't you enlighten me?
Do you understand what the Austrian school of thought is?
Why don't you enlighten me?
What I'm getting at is, how many of these jobs in North Central West Virginia are actually government jobs or jobs derived from government spending?
I'm not sure if that study provides that information, but
probably
but I don't know.
Because I'm suspecting that the Keynesian PhDers wrote your wonderful study showing this great airport authority and this billion-dollar injection of government funding in a North Central West Virginia, which is wonderful, right?
Well, I can tell you there are a number of private companies, starting with Bombardier, Pratt Whitney, Lockheed Martin, which I'm sure have government contracts.
Who all have government contracts,
well,
correct?
Sure. Gentlemen, please allow gentleman 48 to complete his answer.
Sure, answer.
Which I'm sure have government contracts. That doesn't mean there aren't jobs available.
Sure. Do you think the federal government's just going to continue to spend deficit after deficit, and that's just going to continue to happen?
I can't speak for the federal government and won't even try.
As time went on, delegate after delegate stood to give personal stories about drug addiction and overdose and the impact this critical issue has on businesses all over the state. They cited solutions such as better education and better parenting. Delegate Jim Morgan, a Democrat, suggested to the majority Republicans they consider a tax increase to pay for needed programs.
You can't get teachers, you can't get correctional officers if you don't have at least reasonable pay. And I suggest, and I mentioned it today only to get ahead of the crowd, that you consider a 1 cent general sales tax in West Virginia when you look to balance the budget. Raises $200 million, and you can do a lot with that to make West Virginia a great state.
Delegate Justin Markham, a Democrat from Mingo County, spoke to a bill he's introduced which would put any person caught trafficking drugs into West Virginia from another state in jail for 5 years. This led to another exchange with Delegate McGean.
The bill requires if you transport drugs in the state of West Virginia from another state, there's a minimum of 5 years in prison.
Okay, so a minimum of 5 years in prison is going to cut the head off the snake. That's your answer?
Well, that's a start.
It's a start?
Yeah, it's a great start. We have to take the other approaches, too. This is an all-inclusive approach to tackling the drug problem in this state. You can ask any law enforcement official. The out-of-state drug dealers are the problem. We've got our pill problem somewhat under control. It's still an issue. But we have out-of-state drug dealers that are bringing drugs in this state, and they don't care a bit about the citizens of West Virginia. All they care about is taking that dollar back to Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, or somewhere else.
So let me just clarify. Your wonderful talking point about cutting the head off the snake really boils down to putting drug traffickers in jail for 5 years.
Amen.
And that's it.
That's one of the points, yes.
Thank you. No more,
if they're in jail,
no more questions.
Every floor session ends with the remarks portion of the agenda, where any delegate can speak his or her mind about any topic they wish. But today's debate ended with this admonishment from House Speaker Tim Armstead.
As a general reminder, I know we've had a number of emotional debates and discussion here today, but I would remind all members to please respect each other's ability to get on this House and speak and allow each member to complete their comments, and that as we are recognized to make remarks or to answer questions, that we do so with civility and with respect with each other, to each other.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
Lawmakers have been talking for years about the lack of results coming from the state's public education system. West Virginia ranks as one of the highest in the nation when it comes to per-pupil spending, but is one of the lowest in student achievement. With some new ideas on what can be done to fix the state's ailing education system are the two new Education Committee chairs. Senator Dave Seipold is from Preston County and has been a member of the Senate since 2006, and Delegate Amanda Pasden was first elected to her seat in 2010. She's from Monongalia County. Thank you both for being here this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with a public hearing we held in the House of Delegates yesterday about charter schools. What's the benefit, Delegate, to allowing charter schools in West Virginia?
Well, certainly it allows some local flexibility and creativity. The legislation that we're looking at taking up on both the Senate and the House side is really a ground-up approach, so a bottom-up approach that requires buy-in from your county superintendents, your educators, your county board, your communities, your family, and through the community.
So, Senator, there's a lot of pushback, specifically from unions, some from parents. They say that charter schools can't work in West Virginia because it's too rural, first of all. And they also say that there's not enough proof that they help minority or low-income students. You sponsored that bill in the Senate. What do you have to say to those concerns?
Well, I think there is a concern about the viability in rural setting. However, the beauty of the bill is that it's wide open. It's an opportunity for the stakeholders to come together, put forth their own business plan, and prove to the Board of Education that it will work, and then the board has the option to approve or disapprove of their charter.
Delegate, another thing the unions say are that we passed innovation zones last year. These are things that give counties a little bit more leeway in how they're delivering their curriculum and the amount of time that a student spends each day in school. And they say that we haven't given them a chance yet. What do you have to say about those zones? are we rushing past something that we don't know if it works or not yet?
Well, it's a little different. The innovation zone is a little different from your public charter system might look like. But it's certainly, I think the innovation zones are a wonderful thing. I think it was a step in the right direction. Public charters probably takes a step further down that path, and it requires kind of community buy-in from all stakeholders, whereas the innovation zones are limited to, you know, your superintendents, your county board, and your educators. The public charter school would bring in your parents and your families and really all aspects of the community. So it's just another option. And really what this is about is giving parents a choice and students a choice. We need to keep in mind that not all of our students learn the same way. So giving them the opportunity to be in a different learning environment and offering them that educational choice is imperative.
How do you feel about those concerns about low-income and minority students not being met in charter schools, not seeing the same advantages?
Well, I think that, you know, that's why it's so important for this to be a community approach, because I think what we have learned from some of the best models around the nation is the most successful models come from that community approach and not overlooking the needs of the students in that community. So no one knows better the needs of their own community than the people that live there. So letting them design the program and what the charter would look like would go a long way in helping to address those needs.
So, Senator, I'd like to ask you about Common Core. Your co-chair, Senator Boley, introduced a bill today to repeal Common Core standards. Similar bill has been introduced in the House. But State Board President Gail Manchin was here last week and said, just like innovation zones, they haven't been given enough time. These standards haven't been given a chance yet. How do you feel about Common Core? Is this just a statement on the standards, or are we going to see some real action from the legislature?
Well, on the standards, Common Core, actually West Virginia has a subset of those, I think it's called Next Generation Standards. I sincerely believe that the biggest complaint and problem with the standards is the assessment of student achievement, and we're rushing into the achievement part. I understand that it's important to make teachers and principals and schools accountable, but this is just the first year it's been fully implemented. I'd like to see that requirement for the assessment rolled back a year or two, let the standards fall into place and the curriculum be developed to best serve those standards.
Delegate, if the leadership decides to continue interims, is this something that would be beneficial in an interim study?
I think so. I think we know that we have some challenges relating to West Virginia's next generation standards. We know that there was some bumps in the rollout. We know that the teachers haven't felt quite prepared, and we haven't maybe given them all the tools that they need to feel successful in their own classroom. So I think that I agree with Senator Seipold in that we need to take a step back. We need to look at where we are, assess where we are, learn from our mistakes before we go further.
Delegate, I'd also like to ask you about a bill that's been getting a little bit of attention over in the House, and that's House Bill 2107, sponsored by Delegate Overington. That bill requires teachers to teach a year and a half of American history, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, before they start learning about foreign affairs and other social issues. Is that bill going to get run in your committee?
Well, I'll be honest. You know, I feel like we have traditionally over the years regulated education and the way it's delivered in the classroom from Charleston for way too long. So as I'm chair of the House Education Committee, and the bills that I look at taking up will have, they have to have a flavor of local control and local flexibility. If we are not offering that in a piece of legislation, then I'm not interested in taking it up, because I feel like our educators know how to educate our children, and we have to allow them the flexibility to do what they do best in the classroom. So I'm against mandating those types of things from Charleston.
Senator, on that same note, is there too much power at the center of the education system? Does the State Board of Education have too much power?
Well, I would have to tell you that the approach to education in West Virginia has traditionally been from a top-down, and constitutionally the Board of Education is charged with the duty of delivering that public education in West Virginia, and there's no question about it. And short of a constitutional revision, that's going to remain in place.
Well, Senator Dave Seipold, Delegate Amanda Pasden, Chairs of the Education Committee, thank you both for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In a moment, we'll look at utility regulation in the state, but first, here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the Senate today.
Among the bills introduced in the Senate today, Senate Bill 355 requires the governor to establish the Board of Regulatory Reform. The bill states that one of the key reasons this state has been consistently rated as a difficult jurisdiction for businesses is because the state's regulatory environment is rated as one of the most burdensome in the country for business. Senate Bill 356 to provide a motorcycle helmet exemption to motorcyclists who meet certain safety and health insurance requirements. Senate Bill 357, creating the Coal Jobs and Safety Act of 2015. This bill states that West Virginia's coal industry has been battered by constant judicial and regulatory assaults, which have disproportionately raised the cost of mining coal in West Virginia compared with production costs in other coal-producing states. Senate Bill 362, to develop better West Virginia educational standards tailored to West Virginia students, developed by West Virginia education professionals. Senate Bill 366, to enact the Patient Protection and Transparency Act, which requires information to be given to and provides protections for persons who purchase insurance through the West Virginia Health Benefit Exchange or an exchange website operated by the federal government. And Senate Bill 369, to repeal the article creating mandatory state inspections of motor vehicles. Up for passage in the Senate tomorrow, Senate Bill 237, regulating captive cervid farming as an agricultural business under the regulation of the Department of Agriculture. And Senate Bill 341, allowing the Agriculture Commissioner to approve the rules of the Livestock Care Standards Board. Among the bills on second reading, the amendment stage, Senate Bill 6 provides a mechanism to increase the limitation on civil damages and medical malpractice cases to account for inflation by linking increases to the Consumer Price Index. It also requires appellate courts to review certain decisions made by circuit court judges, adds provisions limiting the admissibility and use of certain information, and requires adjustment of verdicts for past medical expenses. Senate Bill 7, to require CPR to be taught in the public school system as a condition of graduation. And Senate Bill 335, the governor's bill to allow initial responders to possess and administer opioid antagonists in suspected drug overdoses, and to ensure this remedy is made available to individuals at risk of overdose, as well as to relatives, friends, and caregivers.
The Senate Finance Committee continued budget hearings this morning, today hearing from the State Division of Corrections. Since the passage of the Governor's Justice Reinvestment Act in 2013, the Commissioner of Corrections says overcrowding is becoming less and less of an issue, but the division is still asking for a budget increase. Commissioner Jim Rubenstein presented the governor's proposed budget for his division for the upcoming fiscal year. In it, the governor is suggesting a budget increase of nearly $2 million from general revenue funds. Rubenstein tells lawmakers those extra dollars are needed as a result of Senate Bill 371, known as the Justice Reinvestment Act. The purpose of 371 was to combat the state's prison overcrowding problem by focusing on community-based programs and increasing parole options for nonviolent offenders. The commissioner says as the emphasis changes from keeping people locked up to rehabilitating them back into their communities, the additional funds will be used to hire four new parole officers and an office assistant for the program.
Again, safely getting folks back into the community under appropriate supervision. It's certainly to have somebody engaged within a community corrections program and under parole supervision is cheaper than having them housed in a prison bed 365. So, you know, what we want to do, and certainly with 371, is to make smart choices and make smart placements and make smart decisions from parole supervision.
The revenue increase will also be used to complete expansions at their Parkersburg and New Charleston facilities, adding more beds to the system and further easing overcrowding. Virginia, the Public Service Commission oversees all of the utilities in the state, but many public service districts in rural communities that operate water and sewer facilities want to be free of PSC control. As Beth Voorhees reports, a bill has been introduced to do just that.
Members of the West Virginia Rural Water Association want more local control. The group is made up of about 300 small public water and wastewater systems. They're supporting Senate Bill 234, which would remove from the jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission rate-making jurisdiction over all water and sewer utilities owned or operated by public service districts and municipalities. The Rural Water Association is one of four groups that commissioned a recent study of public service commissions across the country. Executive Director Amy Swan says West Virginia has a poor, obsolete, and limiting PSC model.
The study found that West Virginia water and wastewater utilities that are owned by municipalities and public service districts are among the most heavily regulated in the country. There are 43 states where the Public Service Commission has no jurisdiction over the rates of municipalities or public service districts. Approximately two-thirds of the states, the Public Service Commission has no jurisdiction over municipalities or public service districts at all. So if West Virginia is here on the right, everybody else is way over here on the left.
Senate Bill 234 would allow for local PSD boards to set customer rates. It would also allow the collection of fees for a surplus fund for emergencies or repairs, something desperately needed, according to Todd Grinstead, a PSD manager from Wood County.
That fund is there to replace pumps, any breakdowns. According to the commission, it's there to do small line extensions, one or two customers. There's just not enough money in there. We're not allowed to fund that like it needs to be funded.
Senator Craig Blair is a sponsor of the bill.
But you also have to understand that the Public Service Commission is an advocate for the consumer. And they're the ones that have a tendency of trying to keep the prices pushed down. And that's exactly why we're here today on this, is because as they tried to keep the cost down for the consumer, then it squeezes the public service districts to the point where they can't have the reserve or don't have the reserve they need to be able to make some of these upgrades and repairs on the fly.
The West Virginia Public Service Commission is opposing the bill, but according to Susan Small, the communications director, the agency remains an advocate of these small utilities as well and is hoping to work on these issues.
The Public Service Commission is not, this steel concrete structure that can't bend, can't move. As I mentioned, we are a creature of the legislature. We want utilities to be successful. We also want ratepayers to be able to pay their bills. And we want the combination of the two to have a positive effect and impact on the state. The commission is charged with balancing all of the needs. And at this point, mom, pa, who, have a tough time paying their bills now, they're going to have a tougher time in the future. And we just feel like somebody needs to be sticking up for them.
Senate Bill 234 is currently in the Committee on Government Organization, which Senator Blair chairs. He said he wants to see two-thirds of his committee members interested in the bill before the committee will take it up for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Beth Voorhees.
Now here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today.
Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 2495, at the request of the Division of Motor Vehicles, to require information about the dangers of distracted driving to appear on the examination for license to operate a motor vehicle. House Bill 2499, to make available elective courses of instruction in all schools on the history of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. House Bill 2502, to authorize active and retired law enforcement officers acting as security for schools to carry deadly weapons on a school bus, on school property, or at a school-sponsored function. House Bill 2509, to determine that the federal health care legislation is invalid in this state. The bill defines acts that are violations of state law and makes them a felony offense. House Bill 2510, to allow sweets to be served at elementary school parties to teach balanced nutrition through moderation. House Bill 2511, to create the Healthcare Sharing Ministry's Freedom to Share Act. A healthcare sharing ministry is a faith-based nonprofit organization that limits its participants to those who are of a similar faith. The bill exempts these ministries from insurance regulation. House Bill 2512, to require the consent of the Public Service Commission before an electric utility may retire or permanently shut down an electric generating plant. and House Bill 2515 to require the Division of Natural Resources to take an active role in the reintroduction of the elk species to the state. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, House Bill 2053 to permit the recording of a Memorandum of Deed of Trust in lieu of the Deed of Trust, and House Bill 2227 relating to the National Coal Heritage Area.
This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, we'll talk about prevailing wage. Bills have been introduced to repeal the law requiring construction companies working on public projects pay their employees the prevailing wage. Sean O'Leary has been studying the issue for the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy, and Joel Ebert has been covering the issue for the Charleston Daily Mail. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at wvhtf.org.